your help on that, okay? All right. Praise God. Everybody glad you're here today? Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 3:1 through 3. We'll also read Hebrews and also 2 Peter. We'll have these verses for you on the PowerPoint in just a moment. The name of the, or the title of this sermon is Sippy Cup Christians. Sippy Cup Christians. Go ahead and go to that next image, Brother Shaw. She was only known as Jeannie. It was an alias name to protect the, what little privacy she had. Because since she was just a toddler, her entire life had been suppressed by the terror that she endured all alone in a single dark room. Her case was one of the most cruel instances of social isolation in American history. In 1997, Walter Cronkite narrated a PBS documentary informing the public about her heartbreaking story. This young girl, Jeannie, was born in 1957 and only 20 months old when her father, Clark Wiley, who claimed he thought she was mentally retarded, locked her up in one of the family's bedrooms. The bedroom was at the back of the house, and the windows were covered with aluminum foil to keep the sunlight out and nosy neighbors out. And the only furnishings in her room consisted of a cage with a chicken wire lid over it and a child's potty chair. For nearly 11 years, this young girl suffered at the hands of her sadistic father, locked to that chair with a homemade strapping device. And if she uttered any sound, she was immediately hit by a 1x3 foot board. Any sound she made, she was struck immediately. Under her father's paranoid, vicious rule, he also kept a gun visible in his lap at all times as a means of intimidation, not only for her, but the whole family. It wasn't until she was 13 years old that her abuse was discovered. On November the 4th, 1970, her mother, who was nearly blind, sought public assistance in Temple City, California, after finally escaping and leaving her husband. When a social worker met with the family, Jeannie's appearance and her condition gave away the sinister secrets. At age 13, she wore diapers. She couldn't speak. She had the language and motor skills of a baby. And she crawled along the floor like an animal. The social worker believed Jeannie was only 6 years old and that she was autistic. But when her real age was discovered, she immediately contacted her supervisor and subsequently alerted the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Both of Jeannie's parents were arrested, charged with child abuse, and just before her father was scheduled to appear before the judge, he shot and killed himself. Allegedly, he wrote a suicide note that read, "The world will never understand." He was buried with countless secrets about the horrors that were committed in that household. Well, her mother's criminal case was eventually dropped when the court found out that there was evidence that showed that this mother had been desperately trying to escape the brutality of her husband. However, the mother was not given custody of Jeannie. Jeannie was sent off to be cared for by a team of therapists and special physicians. Look at this next image of her. She's just learning to walk for the first time. How sad. We all understand that a child's growth and development physically and emotionally and socially, it can only happen with proper nourishment, interaction, involvement, learning and training, and love from people that love her, loving parents, ideally. This girl's case, Jeannie, it's a classic, horrible example of what can happen to a child without the necessary requirements for growth and development. It's a shocking story. But what's not shocking, but what should be shocking, is the often complete lack of development and growth of Christians. Christians who are born again, but they never receive the necessary requirements for their spiritual growth. This is my sippy cup when I was a little boy. My mother saved it and gave it to me later. On the front of it, it's got a little bear. His name is Tommy Tippy. And I refer to it as a little child, my mother says, is my Tommy cup. Sippy cups are great because if you flip it over, look, it won't spill. It just kind of rocks back up because it's got a round bottom. And as you do that, you can see how handy that is. It was great. It's great for a little child that doesn't have the motor skills, is learning to hold a cup and to drink out of it. It's got three little tiny holes in the top of it. I looked at it and I could just for certain tell that there was remnants of hot chocolate left in that cup, but I couldn't tell that for sure. Now, Sherry and I go out to church after church on Sundays. Every Sunday, we go out for lunch. Imagine how I would look if I took this sippy cup with me every time we went out to eat. And I had to take it with me because I just hadn't quite developed the fine motor skills to pick up and sit down my glass without spilling it everywhere. And besides this little sippy cup, it was so easy. And it just made me feel so comfortable when I had it. So I had never advanced beyond anything but just milk and juice. Folks seeing me with that sippy cup in the restaurants, well, they probably would assume that I had a mind of a child. Sherry already thinks that without the sippy cup, but they would assume that I had never developed or matured at all as an adult individual. Just like, for example, just like those early Christians that Paul was dealing with, it's noted in this scripture that you'll see on the next PowerPoint, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Paul couldn't communicate with the folks in this church about spiritual things because they weren't ready for it. They couldn't comprehend it. They were spiritually immature. And they obviously didn't have within them the desire to grow, or they would have been growing. Yes, they were saved. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But they were not growing in grace with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They didn't have a desire to grow. Christians leave the Word of God completely out of their lives. Christians don't read it, they don't study it, and they always have an excuse. But because they're still just drinking milk, there's no evidence of their maturity spiritually. The author of the letter to Hebrews, similar to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. You'll see this on the next PowerPoint in Hebrews 5:12-13. He's got the same concern for his audience, their spiritual immaturity. Look at these words. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What Paul saw in the church in Corinth, what the author of Hebrews saw in his letter, were sippy cup Christians. There were folks that had never matured. that were still holding on to their little sippy cups because of immaturity in them. There were the examples of being spiritual babies. They were still in spiritual infancy, so to speak. And that's why these letters were written to these folks, to help them understand that there should be something different than what Paul was seeing. For example, Paul was seeing griping instead of gratefulness. He was seeing arguments in the church instead of action. He was seeing folks following men rather than following the Master, our Savior, Jesus. But look at one more scripture with me in this next PowerPoint, in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now, forever and ever. There's a command, there's a word that tells us it is the will of God for you and I to grow. God wants us to grow. Again, it's His command to us to grow. We should follow it. He wants us to grow in closeness, in understanding. He wants us to grow in trust and in faith. He wants us to grow in power, the power of God in us. He wants us to grow having a desire to please Him, to please our Heavenly Father, to please Him in our conduct, or please Him in our sanctification, in our walk of holiness, and pleasing Him to be more like Jesus every day. So for just a moment this morning, we're going to take and look at and examine four things we need to know to grow. And the first one, number one, is this: we must know how to feed ourselves. Makes sense, doesn't it? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word of God. We're speaking of the Bible, that you may grow thereby. Just as we must have proper food and proper nourishment for growth physically and for being healthy, we also must spiritually have the proper spiritual food for our growth and development. So let me ask you this morning, do you desire the Word of God? Do you read it daily? I know this, if I don't eat it all today, I'm going to get hungry. If I don't eat it all for the next several days, I'm going to start getting very weak. If I don't eat anything for the next several weeks, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to lose all of my strength. I'm going to lose my ability to even function. But there's lots of Christians who have not partaken of the Word of God for so long that they're weak, they're lacking in strength, and they have little ability to function in a faithful or spiritual sense. Sadly, many of these Christians, that they avoid the Word of God. They avoid it, but yet they're feeding themselves all the time. They're feeding themselves the junk that's in the world. They're feeding themselves all sorts of bad food. Food such as watching immoral plots on television or in movies. Food such as listening to music with lyrics and ideals that go completely against God's principles and His guidelines for us individually. Maintaining the right spiritual diet, knowing how to feed ourselves, it takes discipline. Look at these next scriptures with me on 2 Timothy 2:5-15. If anyone competes in athletes or athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You've got to have discipline. If you're going to compete in athletics, it takes discipline. It takes discipline in this walk of faith. Look at verse 15. Be diligent. That means we have to be persistent. We have to be determined. We've got to stay at it. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. What's that last word? Say it with me. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the Word of God we're speaking of. This next PowerPoint on Psalm 119, verses 9 through 12. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Oh, the psalmist is declaring how much he loves the word, how much the word gives him guidance and direction and help. And God, help me not go away from it, is his heart's cry in that prayer. A little girl locked in her closet for 11 years, rarely got the right kind of food. She had the development and ability of a little baby, and yet she's 13 years old. Why would we think it is any different for you and I spiritually if we go for years without feeding ourselves the right kind of spiritual food, His Word, the Holy Word of God? A man had a restaurant many, many years ago, the old days. He advertised for a boy to come and to work and help him out in the restaurant. One boy came and applied for the job, and the man told the boy, he said, I'll pay you $10 a week plus your meals. And the little boy said, well, how good are the meals? And the man patted his big stomach. He patted his big stomach and said, I eat here. He was a good ad for the restaurant because the boy took the job immediately. Are you a good ad for the Word of God in you? Are you a good ad for the Word of God in you? Does your life show that you're feeding yourself with the right kind of spiritual nourishment? Well, what we need to know to grow is we need to know how to feed ourselves. And the second point of this sermon is today, we must know how to allow others to feed us. Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, coming together. The church is where we come together. The church is where we're fed by others. The church is an important God-ordained part of our spiritual growth and maturity. Attendance to the church of God is vital to our personal growth. It's at church is where we allow others to feed us. Fellowship encourages us. Service strengthens us. Testimonies, they build up our faith. Praying together for one another gives incredible inspiration and helps our faith to grow. Look at the scripture on PowerPoint, Proverbs 12 and 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's kind of blunt for God to say it like that, but you know that is true. And then in Proverbs 27 and 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. It sharpens when we come together in the place of worship. So we've got to learn how to feed ourselves. We've got to learn to allow others in serving the Lord to feed us. And that takes us to the third point today. We must know how to walk. You saw that picture, that little 13-year-old girl awkwardly trying to get her legs to move and to walk. She just looked so awkward in that photo. But we're talking about walking spiritually. And the first, as you see up here, is walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We should walk this life with the heart's desire and prayer to be led by His Holy Spirit. And the Word of God tells us that that is the will of God, for His Holy Spirit to lead us. And it enables us to come together so that we can feel His presence. As we gather together, as we're gathered together in the place of worship and others are feeding us, as we're walking in the Spirit, we're learning to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. The second thing we've got to do is walk in faith. You see that on the next PowerPoint, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That means we don't always understand things, do we? There's certain things we just don't get, but we continue to take the steps of faith. We continue to trust Him. Third, next, we must walk in love. Ephesians 5 and 2. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Listen, when we're walking in love, there's no room for bitterness. When we're walking in love, there's no room for conflict. There's no room for misunderstanding. There's no room for hard feelings. There's only the love of God that causes us to have a heart that is tender and forgiving and preferring others. Oh, walking in love, what a great thing that is. And next, number four, we have to walk in light. Ephesians 5, 8 and 10, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Oh, walk in His light. That's the hope that God gives us. We're not in darkness anymore. You know, there's a lot of churches that it's kind of a popular thing nowadays that you go into the sanctuary and not only is it 115 decibels like what the Bible's telling us, but it's dark. It's just pitch black. It's like you're in a very, very dark room. That's a real popular thing right now. I don't understand that because God's called us to light. Christ is the light of the world. Why would we want to be in darkness? Oh, well, so we can see the PowerPoint. Can y'all see these PowerPoints okay? We got all the lights on up here. We need light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And finally, the last thing is walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1 and 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Are you a pleaser? Do you want to please God? Oh, walk worthy of God. Walk with that precious prayer in your heart. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Oh, let that be our prayer. God, let everything I do be pleasing to You. If we walk every day with a heart that says, let me be pleasing to You. What does it say? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We must increase in the knowledge. That's part of our growing. That's part of our maturity, walking worthy of the Lord. When we learn to walk in the Spirit, in faith, in love, in light, and we're walking worthy of God, what a great walk that is. That's part of our maturing and growing. Let me ask you, how are you walking today, spiritually speaking? Takes us to the fourth point of this sermon, number four. We must know how to reproduce. Anybody ever had rabbits? My Uncle Raymond, my dad's older brother, he and my Aunt Ruth were living in Dallas, and they sold their place, and before they left for California, they were moving to California to make that their home. They came, and they lived at my house for about 3 weeks to save up a little more money and then head off to California. Well, my Uncle Raymond, he was always into a lot of different things just to make a little extra money on the side. He'd been raising rabbits and selling them. So when they moved in with us, he brought his rabbit cages. They were about 3 feet up off the ground, so the critters couldn't get to them. And they were well-built cages, and he brought those cages and set them up in my backyard under a big shade tree. And he gave me two rabbits. He said, I'm going to give you these two rabbits. He called me Dynamite. I think he had a good name for me. Every once in a while, he called me Superman. I loved that uncle. He was a great guy. He said, I got these two rabbits, I'm going to give them to you, and you'll get a lot of rabbits, and you can sell them like I did and make a little extra money. I said, that's great. Well, I didn't realize that the gestation period for a little mother rabbit's only 30 days. And they generally have a litter of about 5 to 6, 7, or 8 rabbits at a time. And all of a sudden, one day, I had all these little bunnies in the cage. I thought, this is great. This is great. And about 5 or 6 weeks later, I had a whole bunch of more little bunnies in the cage again. I said, well, isn't this wonderful? And before you know it, I had to start putting rabbits in the other cage. And you realize that a rabbit, when a rabbit's about 6 months old, it's then able to reproduce. And after a few months, I had rabbits reproducing. I had more rabbits ever seen in my life. In fact, my mom and dad couldn't afford to keep buying the feed for me to feed all my rabbits. And my dad said, I've got the answer. He said, the fellow that your Uncle Raymond was selling these rabbits to, I've got his name, I'll call him and he'll buy these rabbits. I said, Daddy, what are they going to do with these rabbits? Well, he knew the answer, but he didn't want to tell me. He said, oh, there's other little boys and girls that want pets like you do. I said, oh, Daddy, that's great. That sounds good. That wasn't the right answer, by the way. We must know how to reproduce. We're talking about spiritual reproduction. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Fruit bearing is reproduction. The fruit of the tree is another tree. The fruit of a Christian is what? Another Christian. So when we learn to grow, when we're growing in our spiritual lives, you know what happens next? We grow as a church. We grow as a congregation of believers, knowing how to feed ourselves the right food, knowing how to allow others to feed us the right food, learning how to walk in the Spirit, learning how to walk in maturity, learning how to lead and grow and mature in Christ. Growing Christians can't help but reproduce and create other believers that want to know Christ as their Savior. When we begin to grow spiritually, something happens inside of us. Our priorities, our interests, our desires, they all change. They change because our hearts are different as we're growing closer to Jesus, as we want to please Him more and more every day. A pastor asked a man to teach a class in his church. It was 15-year-old boys. But the man declined to teach the class. He said, "Pastor, I just can't do it. I'm too busy." Later, the man's wife told the pastor, said he turned down the opportunity to teach because many times my husband only has Sundays to relax, and he relaxes by playing golf. And he just couldn't give up the opportunity to relax and play golf on Sundays, and that's why he said no. Well, the pastor just kept praying that God would send somebody to teach this class, and 5 months later, after the man had come to him and said, I've changed my mind, I'm going to teach this class, I'm going to give up golf, I'm going to be here every Sunday, I'm going to teach this class. And 5 months later, after teaching this class, this same man walked down the church aisle with the sixth boy from that group of 15-year-old boys, the sixth boy that he had won to Christ, the sixth boy that had given his heart to Jesus. That last unsaved boy was that boy, that sixth boy that came down the aisle that day. Later, the pastor asked that teacher, asked that fella, he said, "Has it been worthwhile? Or would you like to go back and play golf on Sundays?" And tears of joy sprang in the man's eyes. The man said, "This is the greatest time of my life. I would rather spend time telling others about Jesus than anything else on this earth. I am so sorry that I didn't start teaching this class years ago instead of wasting my Sundays on worldly things, playing golf." Our hearts, hear me, church, our hearts must be full of anguish and passion for those around us that are lost. They must be full of a Holy Spirit-led desire to reach out and to touch one more heart, one more soul with the hope and the joy and the message of Christ and His love for them. In the early 1970s, Dennis Potts was a merchandise manager for 7-Eleven in Southern California. He was faced with a dire situation. Sales were down. There was little to suggest that they were going to turn around, there'd be any improvement in the near future. He didn't know what to do. In fact, he said that the situation was so serious that it was sort of a "we need to do something or get out of the business" things had gotten so bad. Well, some fellows from Coca-Cola got in touch with him, and they said they had a suggestion they wanted him to consider. And he said, "Well, tell me about it." And he said, "We want you to introduce a new drink that'll be a 32-ounce drink." Well, at that time, the largest drink that they sold in the early 70s was 20 ounces. That was considered a whole lot. That was a very big deal. And he said, "32 ounces, that'll never work. Nobody will buy that." And the folks from Coca-Cola said, "No, would you let us send the cups to you, and you supply your best store you've got there in Southern California, and just try it, test it, and see what happens." So Dennis Potts said, "Okay." They sent a couple of cases of 500 cups. He put it in one store. They sold out in 2 weeks. It was incredible. He ordered more. They branded it. And you know what they called it? Look at this next PowerPoint. It became one of the most successful and popular items in 7-Eleven, and it was one of the most profitable. It made a huge contribution to their profits. Today we started out talking about sippy cup Christians. Little sippy cup Christians. Just barely starting to mature, still little babes. Listen to me today. We've got to be big gulp believers. We've got to be big gulp believers. We got to dig into that juicy steak or that roasted chicken. That's the meat of the Word of God. And we got to follow with a big gulp of the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts, giving us the strength and the power and the maturity that we need as believers. God help us to grow beyond being sippy cup Christians. Again, this is not just about us as individuals. It's about this church. It's about this congregation leading us, the Holy Spirit leading us to be a bold witness for Jesus. We'll be just like that Sunday golfer. As we grow, our priorities will be for Jesus. As we grow, our priorities will be for the kingdom of God. It'll be for souls. It'll be for the ministry of His Holy Spirit in us individually and in this church. And we won't be a sippy cup anymore. We're going to be a big gulp Christian full of the Word of God and full of His Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, let us grow. Let us not be babes. Let us not be immature. Let us not be like that little girl Jeannie locked up in a room for 11 years. God, help us to come out and grow and receive and learn, Lord, from You, Your desire for us to grow spiritually, to be the men and women of God You've called us to be. And it can only happen when we embrace Your Word, when we take and feed ourselves daily of that spiritual diet that You have for us. Father, I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would convict us of our being settled with just the way things are. God, I pray the Holy Spirit would stir us and help us to see how much more You want to do through us, how much more You want us to grow by loving and reading Your Word and letting that feed our minds and hearts and souls. Father, I thank You today for Bob Allen and the Gideons. I thank You for the men all around this world who believe and go out daily sharing Christ by giving out Bibles and the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for that ministry. I pray Your blessings on them. I pray Your favor upon them. I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit this coming week when they're at that middle school, Father, as they hand out those Bibles, there'll be divine appointments that there's going to be a boy or a girl that's going to receive that New Testament, that's going to read those Psalms, that Jesus is going to become real to them because of this ministry. God, help us all to reach out and share that good news. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks to Bob and Gail Allen and other friends of theirs that are with us today. Thank you so much for being with us. Guest and first-time guest, returning guest, it's an honor to have you today. We pray that you felt God's presence, that you felt the presence of Jesus here today. And if you're looking for a home church, we encourage you to come back and try us again. We'd love to see you again. Would you please stand with me?